And the gospel lesson is when Jesus is on the cross, it's a powerful lesson for us to see that Jesus loves his mother from the cross. He's suffering, he's near death, and he looks down and he sees his mother with John, the disciple he loved. And this is from John 19, verse 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. There was a little boy that was doing a Sunday school presentation up on the chancel in front of everybody at church, and he forgot his lines, just blank. And he looked at his mother, who was in the front pew. His mother was mouthing the words, "I am the light of the world." And the boy looked up and said, "My mother is the light of the world." I can say that about my mom. I would only say that I'm going to go see her this afternoon. We're going to watch the Celtics together. She's 86 years old. She is the number one Celtics fan. She watches every minute, the whole, and yells at the TV. And we're confident in our playing ability to knock down King James. We'll see. But it's all in good spirit. When I hug my mother now, she's, as I said, 86 and a half years old, and I hug her a little bit longer than I usually do. And when I kiss her more than I usually kissed her. And when I say I love you, when I'm on the phone with her, I don't know how many times I say I love you, but I probably say it like 10 times. I love you, 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 and hang up like this. Just because I know how precious it is to have a mother with you. And some of you are remembering moms, right? On this day, I think it's so beautiful that Jesus from the cross looks down. He's suffering. He's giving his life. It's agony. And he cares for his mother and puts two people together as only God can do. You know, you can have family that are not blood family or biological family. Amen? I have a lot of mothers. Through my years of growing up as a preacher's kid, I don't know how many mothers I had within the church. Church mothers. Amen, Janet Moulter? She's one of mine, too. I'd say every woman in this sanctuary right now. Connie Hutt saw me wearing my robe a couple weeks ago, and I had a baptism. And, of course, I parade the show off the little baby for the baptism. And she noticed that I had my dad's robe on, and it was in tatters. And her fear was, oh, my goodness, because part of it was like coming out at the bottom of the hem of the robe. She thought, oh my goodness, he's going to trip on these steps and fall with the baby. And so she took the robe home and she stitched it all together. And now I wear it and it feels great. And I know I'm not going to fall. And that's because Connie's one of my church mothers. Amen? We can't have enough church mothers, praise God. And so today I want you to think about how important it is to honor your mother. And it doesn't have to be your biological mother. Anna Jarvis began the first Mother's Day in St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. John and Lisa Shuffelbarger traveled by that church for years and years, and now it's a Mother's Day shrine. Anna Jarvis never had children, but she was a church mom and loved kids. And so I want you to think today how important it is to receive the faith from someone that you know. How many people are here? Probably because either your mother or father, your aunt, or someone within your family shared the faith with you, and then now you're sharing your faith with your children. Amen? And I read this from, this is Paul's letter to Timothy. It's his last letter. It's the last thing he ever wrote is this letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy is someone that he knew since Timothy was a teenager, and that Timothy helped Paul establish all these early churches in different areas. And now Timothy is on his own. Paul's in prison in Rome. He's going to be killed soon. And so this letter is like his last will and testament spiritually for Timothy. His great heart, he says, I think of you and I break out in tears thinking about you and the joy that you give to me. And he encourages him by saying, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded now lives in you also. He wants to encourage Timothy. Timothy is timid. That's how you're going to remember who timid. He's a timid disciple. And I can relate to Timothy because sometimes I'm not full of faith and bold, and I need encouragement. And I hope I encourage you because you encourage me. Just you being here today in church is an encouragement to one another. And the power of an encouraging word. Yesterday, I found these letters. I have not literally read these letters for 36 years. This is a letter, and it fell out of my pastoral record book when I brought it to Stephen Ministry this past Wednesday. I didn't even know I had these letters. This is a letter from my grandmother from Oxford, Massachusetts. This is 1982, 36 years ago, January, from my grandmother. I have no recollection ever reading this, but it made my heart just overflow. And you know the old style of writing. The youngest people here today, they're like, there's no penmanship in school anymore. How beautiful it is to see someone's handwriting. So my challenge to you today is actually do a handwritten note to somebody that you love. Can be your mom or a woman in your life. I'm just going to read you two paragraphs from this letter. She goes on and on, my grandmother, and she died at the age of 94 and a half. And when she died, her night table, she had a to-do list on her night table. Things I want to do. So she says, Dear John, how I love that name. I want you to think of how important it is that you feel the same way I feel when you hear this. I'm serious. Listen. Dear John, how I love that name. It was my father's name, my brother's name, and the name of many great people such as John the Baptist and John Wesley. So you see, part of you is already held in esteem. You are a very important person to so many people. To God and to me, you are the most priceless, most precious, irreplaceable treasure existing. That's quite a responsibility to live up to. She adds that in. But I want you to hear this. Like, God is telling you today this encouraging word through God's word from Paul to Timothy. Timothy didn't feel like he really had what it took to be a disciple, an apostle, a preacher, an evangelist. But I want you to hear these words today as if God is saying that, because my grandmother just didn't say this to me. She was a churchgoer. She didn't miss. And she said it to my two brothers and my sister as well. You know, I feel special that she said this, but if you hear it correctly, it says, so you see part of you is already held in esteem. You are a very important person to so many people. To God and to me, you are, and I want you to hear that God's saying this, you are the most priceless, most precious, irreplaceable treasure existing. Can I hear an amen? If that's not encouraging, I don't know what's encouraging. You know what? You're never tired to hear this, right? And then she writes on the back. This is the ending of the letter. I look forward to your letters, but I realize how busy you are and do not expect you to write often. I don't ever remember writing my grandmother. Just study often, and she underlines often with an exclamation, you have great potential. Don't compare yourself to anyone but you. No one can ask any more than your best. You only fail when you haven't given your best, but you've got to have some fun along the way. Love how she throws that in. And then the closing, and my jaw dropped last night. May the grace of God be with you. You would make a great preacher. You have the delivery, the character, and the compassion. Carry on. Love, Manny. She wrote this in 82. I didn't give my life fully to Christ, personal, as my Savior, till 1983 or 84. But she saw that in me. She wrote this. It fell out of my book, and that's God speaking to me and to you today. That God is calling you to hear these encouraging words from Scripture. You know the word for fan the flames of the gift of God that has been given to you through the laying on of hands? Do you know that that Greek word also means stir it up or revive or blow? Have you ever, there's always one person in every family that I'll make the fire, and then they set it up and they stoke it and they keep it going. When I was a kid, my grandmother stoked the fire. She had a wood stove for the entire year. Didn't matter how hot it was, she was stoking the fires, and she had these old-fashioned bellows. You ever remember those? Ooh, ooh. And I remember as a kid being fascinated. There's nothing coming out of these bellows. Why does it make the fire burn brighter? We know it is someone scientific can explain this oxygen and what it takes for a fire. But if you set a fire, if someone gives you the ember of faith, like a mother, a father, an uncle, an aunt, or a friend, or anybody, and shares the word of God with you, shares about the love of Jesus, and you take it and you say, okay, that's nice, I'll take it, but then it just sits there and you're passive and you don't let the Holy Spirit blow on it, if you don't feed it, if you don't stoke it, if you don't stir it up, that fire is going to go out. So I encourage you, as Paul is encouraging Timothy, to do all you can to keep that fire burning and be an encouraging person to others. This is powerful stuff that you can do for someone else. And I ask you to do that. And I read about somebody today who, when he was 14 years old, his name is James Harrison, not the Pittsburgh Steeler football player, but someone from Australia. It's in today's USA Today paper. James Harrison from Australia, when he was 14, he lost a lung because of a disease, and he never forgot that he received the blood from somebody else to help him survive this operation. So starting at the young age of 21, for 60 years straight, every single week, he gave blood. And in Australia, you have to retire when you're 81. But James Harrison had special blood. He had special blood that was it was a disease-fighting antibiotic that he naturally had that was so unique that was used to develop an injection called Anti-D, which helps fight against rhesus disease in babies in utero. Guess how many babies' lives were saved because he gave blood every single week for 60 years. 2.4 million babies were saved. I only share that with you because you need to be encouraged to do the same and to give your very self. Now, I'd love Nancy and I, her Mother's Day gift is all the birds are in the nest, plus one, Shaw's friend Jenny from school. Nothing would be better than having them all friend together, all of them together in the house, in the nest for Nancy's Mother's Day. Now, nothing would be better for Nancy and I than to be able to wrap up faith, give it to our kids, and then just say, okay, now it's yours. But they get to choose or not choose whether they believe or not, whether they're going to stir up the fire of faith, feed the faith, or revive the faith. And I can't do anything about it. They can say no to God or say yes to God. But I'd like to lift up all of our kids because as we are super encouragers, I mean, literally, we can't encourage. They say enough already with the encouragers, right? How many Shaw witches do we give Shaw yesterday, you know? Nancy on one side, me on another. But I wanted to lift up when Ashley was, and you've heard this before, when she was like 6 years old, she's in the back seat of the car. She looks at her thumbs and she says, Mom, Dad, my thumbs, they're not equal. And we never knew until Ashley noticed as a young girl that she has the exact same thumb as mine on one side and the exact same thumb as Nancy on the other side. Two totally different thumbs. And if we put our thumbs next to her two thumbs, they look exactly like each of our thumbs. Now, we gave her her thumbs. There's no doubt about it. She's got them. And we want to give her the faith, but it's up for her to decide, I want to follow along in this progression of faith from my parents to myself to my kids and so forth. And the beautiful thing is, as of late, all of our kids have been encouraging us. Ashley and Stephanie sing God's praise. We hear them in their rooms as they listen to praise music. And it encourages us. It doesn't matter what age. Children can encourage their parents. And so I want to lift up, just in closing, before we're just going to have a closing prayer, and a lot of you have prayers to lift up. We're just going to pray and then have our closing song. But I want to lift up this couple from Winchester, Massachusetts. They're both with God in heaven. Ray and Eunice Chase. In fact, Earl and Connie Hutt are here today in our church, partly because of the hospitality shown to them in the 50s when they lived in Winchester by Ray and Eunice Chase. Ray died last year at the age of 100. And I was very close to both of them. Eunice died in her 80s. And one time when I went over to visit them, I would have thought they were from the most amazing and most beautiful Christian home, both of them as children, that they were raised in the faith because they were the most loving and caring couple. They raised four children in the faith, all of them close to the Lord, all of them happy. Ray was the superintendent of Sunday schools for years and years and years, and both of them, Eunice was the secretary in the church for years and years and years and years. But what they shared with me, they said, Pastor John, we need to tell you that both of us had the most terrible childhoods that anyone could ever have. Neither one of us had a loving mother or a father. We were raised by people that didn't love us in foster care, house to house. And when we met each other, we said, let's raise the family. Let's have the family that we never had as children. And they gave their lives to Jesus. And they've never been happier. And now they're with God in heaven looking down. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I only share that with you if you're listening and maybe you didn't have the best family life, even the best mom or dad. But because you open your heart to the Lord, you can begin that wonderful generational blessing by giving your life to Christ right now. You know, I want to be a role model of faith. I don't want to be a role model of stressed out and worried and fearful. I want my kids to know, when they look at me, Dad always had this closeness with Jesus that everything was going to be okay. Just like Billy Graham says, I read the end of the Bible. Everything turns out okay. So I want you to, lift up those who came to a funeral last week. Last Monday, his name was Douglas Payne. You know, only one man came to that funeral. I asked people to come from church because there was a gentleman, Douglas Payne, who didn't have any family, no mother, no father, no children. He had one friend who was more of an acquaintance that kind of cared for him. Her name was Ginny. Her name is Ginny Wynot, who I love that name. If you're going to call me anything, say, Pastor Wynot. Because I would say, why not? Can you be healed? Can your marriage be enriched and loved and repaired and restored? Can your relationships be transformed? I'd say, why not? Why not believe in a risen Lord Jesus? Why not? Why not believe that you can be loved as much as Pastor John's grandmother loved him? And so we had about 20 people from our church surround Douglas Payne. And we held hands and we loved this man that we never met, but God loved him and gave his son for him. And so let's take this time, let's have a moment thinking of those women. In fact, before we pray, let's turn around. There's a grandmother with Victoria, right? Jill has Victoria, that's Chris and Jackie Callender. She was born 2 weeks ago. And that little baby is loved. That little baby is going to grow up to know she's special. And I invite her grandmother to write her a note today on Mother's Day, to talk about how priceless and precious and a treasure that she already wrote one. She's going to write a lot. Amen. And why don't we promise to write a hand note to somebody? Can you do that? Not an email, not a text, Show your handwriting. Amen? You won't be able to read Ben Smith's, but it'll be there. How's your dad's? He's a doctor. He must... And tell people you love them. Let's just bow our heads. Let's remember our loved ones. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together. For sacrificial mothers, like Mary, who gave her son to show us that we're loved. And we thank you that from the cross, Jesus put a family together through brokenness and pain and heartache. Lord, use our wounds. Bind them up. Bind our broken hearts. Lord, the world dampens the flame of faith every day. Help us to feed it with your word, through worship and praise, through fellowship, through works of mercy and of love. We thank you for your word from the book of Hebrews. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Forgive us for not stoking the fire of faith, stirring it up and reviving it, and letting the wind of the Holy Spirit bring it to flame. Lord, we have an ember of faith, some just burning just a little bit. And the world wants to rain on our faith parade. Well, we thank you for women of faith who are praying for us. Grandmothers, the right words of encouragement and of love. And so we pray for Victoria and all the Victorias of this world, held by a grandmother and a mother and a father. Bless those who love with a motherly love, those who have adopted, those who are fostering. God bless the couple in Iowa that have fostered over 100 babies because they couldn't have children themselves. And for the way you redefine what a family is, let your grace shower over us today. Forgive our sins. Forgive our neglect of the women in our families. Let us praise them and honor them as we pray your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Let's stand now. Let's join together in song for our closing song on this Mother's Day. Praise God.